on. Welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your host, Doreen Taylor, setting the scene each and every week to help you guys find out what's happening in TV, movies, music, sports, the arts, and everything in between. We're so proud to be syndicated on stations coast to coast and originating right here in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, Talk 860 WWDB. You can get insider access and go behind the scene on our show's official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And I want to give a big scene welcome and a big hello to my amazing producer, Matt Menard. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Doreen, how's it going?
I'm doing okay. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good.
That was really optimistic, wasn't it? Did that sound good? No, I'm doing awesome.
That's good.
Amazingly well. Never better. Ever, ever better.
Full of power today.
Power. We're having an amazing women's power hour today.
Yeah,
women's power hour.
Intimidated.
A little bit. We have a very eclectic group of women today to kind of talk about different areas of the industry and just really cool stuff.
And all extremely successful in what they do.
Yes. Very, very much. And you know who else is very successful?
Who?
Those people when you're driving and they have to let you know they're successful because they have vanity plates.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves a good vanity plate. Everybody wants to know that you're a doctor or
Ad man. I was following today and I'll probably get letters now because this is Philadelphia and there's probably not a lot of them. But I was driving into the studio today and yes, I was following Ad Man number one.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I wonder if that's he's number one or if that's his number one car.
See, that's what I was thinking.
Another one would be number two.
I was thinking, or is his last name Ad Man and he was like the oldest Ad Man in the family? Or is he an actual advertising man? Or, you know, there were a lot of questions that were going in my mind because of that stupid vanity plate. I almost hit the car. I would have found out quickly who he was and what he was driving. And I don't even know if it was a he. I'm assuming it was a he because that seems like a kind of, I don't want to say the word, but...
It makes you wonder what people think. Like, yeah, I'm going to get a vanity plate instead of just a regularly issued plate that has a number on it or whatever.
Would you ever get a vanity plate?
No way.
You wouldn't? No?
I don't even want those plates. They have those plates that have like organizations on it and stuff. Like there's those plates that say,
they go to like a percentage of the proceeds go to like, and I know in Jersey, I think there's one for Cape May or something and think like Lighthouse or something.
Yeah. And then there's. And I could say this because I was in the Army. There's the people that have the veteran or Iraq War veteran.
Yes, and uh-huh.
It's like you're okay, cool. I mean, it's great. It's an honor that we all serve, but I never thought, oh, I'm going to put that on my plate so everybody could know about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you did get a vanity plate ever, what would it say?
Plates suck. I was just...
I think that's too many letters. That's,
shorten it to an abbreviation.
You wouldn't be like in Seinfeld, the ass man.
That would be funny.
I wonder how many people wanted to get that after it aired on Seinfeld.
Oh, I'm sure that it was requested, and I'm sure that the DMV said, no, you're like the thousandth request.
I wonder how many, because I don't think I would have probably signed up for that plate, but yeah, I bet you that I could know some people who would, though.
Yeah.
And not because they're proctologists either.
I don't think I'd ever get one. But if in 5 years I'm going to think, oh, wait, maybe I'll get a vanity plate or something that says Army or something that says, and I'm going to think back to this
show. You're
going
to think back to
this
show.
Well, I can't do it now because I said I'd never do it.
I don't think I could even date a guy that had a vanity plate. I mean, depending on what it said, like, you know, big for you or something, maybe. I'm kidding. No, if you have to advertise it on the back of your car, it's probably not true. But yeah, I don't think I could date a guy if he pulled into my, you know, whatever, I'm meeting him for coffee and there comes the car and it says like, you know, the great man number one or, you know, I'm the best, you know, in some kind of weird.
That sounds like a Seinfeld type thing, too, because he or Friends, Chandler on Friends. He always found the littlest thing wrong with.
Oh, that's
a girl.
That's me.
So,
that's me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's me. I don't even need like an excuse. It just happens. Like, yeah. I should probably do a segment on the show about all of those things that happen and the reasons I've broken things off. That's
really?
Kind of sad, too. Yeah. Maybe that'll be after our peeve of the week.
Like they like Coke and not Pepsi or something?
You know what? That is unforgivable. Don't even go there.
For real?
For real. No, well, I do like Pepsi a lot more than Coke.
I like Pepsi too.
All right, this is why we work together, because yeah, I can't do Coke, no.
I wouldn't like...
Oh, that sounds really bad. That's a good phrase. I don't do Coke. No, man, I don't do Coke.
All right, this is just an anti-drug show. I like it.
I'm Nancy Reagan, just say no. But no, Pepsi, I'm a Pepsi girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pepsi's mm-hmm. definitely, Pepsi right here.
Oh, right there it is. Pepsi there it is. Zero See, sugar. There it is. I didn't even. Oh, just zero sugar though. No, I need extra
no,
sugar.
No, this tastes the best.
Is that good? What do they put in there besides sugar though?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's going to grow like a third nipple sweetener. Or something, and then you're going to be
yeah,
in trouble.
Yeah, but it's better than like a bottle of sugar. I mean, I get a stomach ache.
That's
just
true.
Drinking.
That's
I can't
true.
Drink soda or anything with sugar. I can eat stuff with sugar. Just drinking it, it tears my stomach up.
Now I know your vanity plate. No sugar for you.
No sugar for you.
That's going to be it. That's your Christmas present.
Zero sugar.
Just telling you now. Don't even.
Just make sure you give me the gift receipt.
I promise. Oh, well, I don't know if you can return it, but you know, you can try. You can try. But I think we've talked enough about this interesting topic of the day, and maybe
yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
Elaborate on it a little more in a future episode. But for now, I think we should probably get to our incredible woman power hour today.
All right, let's do it.
All right. You know her as the perfectly coiffed psychic medium who not only channeled spirits, but also dominated reality TV channels starring in the hit TLC show, The Long Island Medium. On The Scene with Doreen today, I welcome New York Times bestselling author, reality TV star, podcast maven, and the Long Island Medium herself, Teresa Caputo. She has just launched her brand new reality show, sharing her gift with the world again on Teresa Caputo, Raising Spirits. Take a little listen.
The Long Island Medium is back and raising spirits in her new Lifetime series.
He wants you to know that I wasn't alone when I died, and I wasn't afraid because Mom came from my soul.
Oh, my God.
Okay, how's it different?
So we got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot of behind-the-scenes of me getting ready, what it's like really on a day-to-day basis, besides me just talking to the dead. That's the thing that I love what I do. I validate for people, or the souls of the departed validate for people, that what they sense and feel is real.
Oh, yes, what you are sensing and feeling is real, because I am feeling really excited to welcome Long Island Medium and star of the new show Raising Spirits, airing on Lifetime every Thursday night, 9, 8 Central, the wonderful Teresa Caputo. Hi, Teresa, what's going on?
Hi, thank you. Nothing much. I'm just getting ready to hit the road for my tour. And today we're actually wrapping up Beyond the Readings, which will be starting on April 18th on Lifetime. So.
How do you find all the time? I know. You know what? I know how you find the time. I think I read somewhere that you're quite the coffee drinker, minimum 6 cups a day.
Here it is, Doreen. It's right here.
That was going to be my question. Do you drink coffee right now? Oh, man. I would be hearing voices too, though, but for different reasons if I were drinking that much coffee. But I do love coffee. I'm quite the endorser of a good coffee.
That's funny.
Now, you're a Gemini.
I am.
Do you believe in astrology and astrological signs and all that?
I do. I feel that a lot of it does... is my personality, who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think everything is 100%.
Right.
But I just find it interesting.
Yeah. Now, I've heard a lot of terms used to describe your kind of gift. Now, what term do you like to use? Is it psychic, medium, a seer? Yeah. What is the term you prefer?
I like medium.
Medium.
I don't know if that's what you want to call it. I'm just able to communicate with people that have died.
Okay.
You know, that's what I do. I don't predict things. I don't want spirit to tell people what to do with their lives. Mm-hmm. What I want spirit to do is to validate for those still here in the physical world that their loved ones are still with them, just in a different way, to believe in an afterlife, mm-hmm. and to be able to release any burdens or guilt or any negative emotions that they are carrying connected to their loved ones passing.
What a beautifully perfect way to say that. Now, you started seeing, feeling, and sensing spirits around 4. Can
Correct.
You pinpoint an event in your life that actually triggered that? Can you think back and think, well, what was it that made me feel that first time?
Well, I just thought everyone was feeling what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I just thought it was normal until we see someone standing at the foot of my bed, hear someone speak to me in a room, and there was no one else in the room but myself.
Mm.
And when my dad's mom passed away, was a moment for me. I was 16, and I struggled because she was in the casket and she was talking to me.
Mm.
So that was extremely scary for me.
Right.
And that's when I completely shut down and blocked my gift.
Now, how long? It was like what? You said almost for like until your late 20s? You didn't really explore it again?
Right. It was right after I had my daughter. I was about 28. And I was really struggling with my anxieties. And my mom suggested that I go to attend this spiritual awareness class. Mm-hmm. You know, she thought maybe through meditation, I could find some peace and solace. And what ended up happening was it created a safe space for me to explore my gift, which I didn't realize that I had at that time, that I was able to connect with everyone's loved ones. And then I struggled with my gift for another 5 years because I couldn't understand why someone would want to come to a medium, speak to their loved ones that have died. And then 9/11 happened. And I had a spiritual experience where it was shown to me that thousands of people perished that day and needed the gift of healing. They didn't know how to move on after the loss of their loved one. So I put my gift in God's hands and here I am.
Wow.
Over 20 years later. Yeah.
Now, do spirits speak English to you? Or because I've wondered this. Yeah. What do you do if you channel someone who maybe didn't speak English in a former life?
Yeah, I think it's the coolest thing because when I hear spirit, it's not like how we hear each other.
That's what
it's
I was curious about.
Yeah. So I see shadow silhouettes and it's more through feeling. And then spirit, they make me feel things. And then they'll show me like little quick like movie strips or like signs and symbols. But I'll just know. And it's so odd. I'll be like, did they speak another language? Because I can't understand them, but they're really not talking to me. It's the coolest thing. So and then the best is a lot of times, especially at my live shows, someone might be translating. The person that I'm actually channeling to, they don't speak English as well. And then they have someone they have someone translating for them. So it really is an amazing and healing and life-changing experience, even if you don't get read.
That's well to feel it and feel that experience of someone else, because I've watched you do other interviews on like Kelly Clarkson and stuff, and where you're literally, I mean, it's hard. I saw you on The View, and I mean they're crying, people sob, and they get something that they are so in need of, and you're providing that for them.
Yeah, well, I always say it's their loved ones. I'm just this crazy lady from Long Island that's crazy enough to say these things.
With amazing hair, by the way, have to say.
Thank you.
I'm jealous. We have to exchange. I have to figure out what you use. That's going to be like a thing, but I'm going to keep that to myself. I'm not giving that to my listeners.
I'm very open about what I use.
Okay, so well, go for it. Give a shout out.
I use Matrix Performa Hairspray.
Awesome.
Right next to my coffee.
Oh, I'm buying it right now. Hear that, everybody? I think that is, do I see a sponsorship? Do I see an advertising deal striking in the future?
No, I think so. I mean, I've been using this hairspray since the 80s, and I've been saying it for over 10 years, so I don't know. Maybe if someone's listening, they might want to do something with me.
I'm just saying. I kind of put it out there. I make things happen. See, I see things too, but I see them more in a business way.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to pin that, and maybe we'll revisit that one a little later. You know, you mentioned that loved ones come to visit their loved ones. Now, do you ever get, I mean, they're helpful and they're kind. Do you ever get one that's not so helpful and kind, or a little angry? Have you ever experienced the negativity ever, like a nasty one coming out?
Well, you know, that all depends. You know, sometimes it could, if it's someone's personality, but they're never like rude or it's just showing their personality. But I only want positive souls. I only want souls that walk in God's white light, souls that are going to be able to give us the gift of peace. Mm-hmm. I treat spirit like my kids. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Now, if it did come to you and it somehow broke through, what do you do? Yeah, what do you do to get rid of them?
You know, I'm going to say this to you, Doreen. You know, is it, you know, I can interpret it this way as well with the question that you're asking. Like, it is hard because sometimes someone could show me that they might not have been very nice to the person. And they want to apologize for that. So they'll show me things and take responsibility for their actions, choices, decisions that might have left this person with the negative emotions. So if you want to interpret it that way, but I don't bring myself to any dark or negative place.
That's good. Now, have you ever ticked one off? because you weren't listening the right way or you weren't conveying the message that they really wanted? Did they ever get angry with you?
No, they'll always kid around and go, how did you know that?
Good. Love it.
Or sometimes they'll say to me, why'd you say it that way? You made me sound like a sap.
Well, it is the Long Island thing. See, we translate. Yes. We cut to the chase. Now, you were very busy before ever launching your first reality show.
Right.
Why? What was the thing that really just motivated you to take the leap to the small screen?
Well, I never really thought of it. A friend of mine, Courtney Mullen, who is my manager now, she unfortunately lost her dad almost 20 years ago. Mm. And she had come and she was having a difficult time. And she had come and had a reading. And being involved in television, she said everyone should have the chance to witness and the opportunity to be healed by what you do. Mm. And she asked me, you know, do you want to do a television show? And I was like, all right. So I thought I was just going to like film a couple of episodes and go back to my life. Mm-hmm. So here I am, you know, now with a new series on Lifetime, traveling all over the country. And we even just brought the show last summer to the UK doing live shows. So I never thought in a million years I'd be where I am today.
That's wonderful. The new show on Lifetime, Raising Spirits, you're not only channeling spirits, but like you said, you're showing more of your personal day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah, so it, yeah, it's that's great. Like we're bringing you on the road to see these live shows, what I do on my days off, you know, surprising people with readings. We're also following up with people.
Oh, you're doing like revisits.
Yes.
Oh.
Yep. A revisit. So we're giving you a little bit. So it's, you know, a little bit more in depth, showing readings that we didn't get to show mm-hmm. that had happened. So it really is. And, you know, to revisit and to see how someone's life did actually change and how they're living their life months later because of the reading. Mm. It's you got to watch. They start on April 18th. So.
I love that. Yeah. That really, because a lot of people just, you know, on a show, they show it. It's done. They never right. really revisit it. I love that. Like, how does it impact your life going forward? That's wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that.
As you should be. Now, you had anxiety in your life, you mm-hmm. mentioned earlier in the episode.
Correct.
You have cameras that follow you around now all the time. I would think, cameras capturing my every move would make me quite anxious. How do you balance that?
That's the crazy thing. It never felt weird. It never felt odd. It never felt comfortable. And that's why I say I know that this is my soul's journey. This is what I was meant to do. Because it's the craziest thing to just have cameras following you, but it's like it's almost like they're not there, mm-hmm. especially when I'm channeling and working. You know, it's just me and the client, and that's it.
That's how you know you're on the right path. That you've made that right choice. You're right. Yep. It's just affirmation after affirmation, and that's yours.
That's it.
Now I want to talk about some things about just you, though. I read you love Broadway.
I do.
What's your favorite musical?
Oh, God.
I'm putting you on the spot now.
I can't. You can't say like, I mean, is it Waitress? Is it, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, Hamilton is in a category all of its own.
Right.
I just had the honor of singing Sweet Caroline with the cast a couple of weeks ago.
We had Bob Gaudio on, who's the producer of that show on Broadway right now.
God, it was so great. Mm-hmm. It was so great. Neil Diamond. It was just amazing. Yes. And I love that Broadway brings that, because you learn so much about these artists that you know you really would never know.
Yeah, Beautiful Noise.
And know about.
Yeah, on Broadway right now. That is so cool. Yeah, and we actually did a giveaway through the show. It's so cool. Now, see, another weird connection that's coming here. That's very interesting. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
I also, that I want to know, do you still sleep with a nightlight?
I sure do.
Yes. Now, what are you afraid
that
of?
Never go away.
So what is it? Did that start early and it's kind of your thing, like a comfort thing? Or are you actually, is there a reason, should we all be sleeping with nightlights that we don't know about? Or
no, I'm just afraid of the dark.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't blame you. There's a lot of weird things that happen and I do not blame you.
That's right.
Now, you're so busy doing what you're doing and with the new show coming, mm-hmm. you know, back in April 18th with everything and touring. How can someone get a reading with you if they want one? Can they still get one with you privately?
Sure. Well, I only do readings for my podcast.
Okay.
I have a hotline that you can call for the hotline. I don't know the number. It's right off the top of my head.
But we can share that
I'll
after.
I'll give it to you. Just always just go to my website at teresacaputo.com. I also just want to share with your listeners, there's a lot of fraud that goes on out there. If anyone contacts you claiming to be me asking for a gift card or for money, that is not me or anyone from my team.
Good to know.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why I formed my fan club. So people, it's really just for the fans, and the proceeds go back. I give the proceeds back to my fans. So it really is just to protect them.
Great. Great. And it's your podcast. Hey Spirit. Is that it?
Hey Spirit.
All right. Hey Spirit. And how do I find that? How do all my listeners go to listen to it?
It's on
everywhere
you listen to a podcast. It's great. Hey Spirit.
Okay. Well, I'm running out of time with you. God, this went fast. Awesome. I really would like to talk with you more, but I think everyone needs to read more about you, learn more about you, go see you on tour. You're on tour right now. All for information can be found at teresacaputo.com. New dates are always being added. And also, I want to shout out your new series with Lifetime, Teresa Caputo, Raising Spirits, Thursday, 9, 8 central on Lifetime, available to stream the next day. And Instagram, your Teresa Caputo. Facebook, your Teresa Caputo, Long Island Medium. Woo, I think that's all. I think I got you.
That's it. You got me. And I hope to see you at the Warner Theater.
Yes. At Erie, PA. You're at Erie, PA. Yes. I will definitely. I would love to. Yes. Because that's mine. You know, we're Philly, but it's not too far.
It's not too far.
Yeah. So everybody, you hear that. Check out her schedule and go visit her. And she's just congratulations on everything and on the new show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. Stay tuned, because right after the break, we have USA best-selling author Zio Axelrod. Hey, I'm Doreen Taylor, and I'm so proud to be an advocate for Best Buddies International, the world's largest organization dedicated to ending the social, physical, and economic isolation of 200 million people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. This spring, come join over 50,000 participants at more than 70 Best Buddies friendship walks across the country. You'll be making the world more welcoming to people with IDD. One friendship, one job, and one life-changing connection at a time. It's free, and more importantly, it's fun. For more information about Best Buddies International, to donate, or to register to participate in a friendship walk in a city near you, visit bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk.org. That's bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk.org.
Tired of shopping for furniture and not finding what you want? Concerned about quality, value, or reputation of most online stores? GrossmanFurniture.com is your answer. We've been furnishing homes for 95 years, and we continue to offer our customers the best price every day, guaranteed. We specialize in customizing over 200 leading brands of furniture to fit your style, your home, and your budget. See why we've been the go-to furniture choice in historic Philadelphia for almost a century. Shipping nationwide, coast to coast, our virtual GrossmanFurniture.com showroom makes it easy and comfortable for you to shop online for quality furniture and decor. Check out our exclusive Made in America furniture lines. Visit us online today and allow us to help you make your dream house your dream home. Log on at GrossmanFurniture.com. That's GrossmanFurniture.com.
Oh, yes. Entertainment Weekly named her newest book as one of the 8 best romance novels of winter 2024. And Cosmopolitan declared it as one of the 15 best romance novels that'll give you butterflies. USA Today bestselling author Zio Axelrod, the Lily series follows the adventures of an all-girl rock band with lots of emotion, unexpected romance, and a deep love and understanding of both music and the industry around it. The series' first installment, The Girl with the Stars in Her Eyes, follow the story of guitarist Tony Bennett and her slow burn romance with a former childhood crush. And its second, Girls with Bad Reputations, continues the fierce story of the Lilies and just recently dropped everywhere you can buy books. Here with me today on The Scene with Doreen is USA best-selling author Zio Axelrod. Welcome, Zio. What's going on?
Hey, thank you for that wonderful introduction. That was awesome.
Oh, my pleasure. You are wonderful. So it's easy to do that when someone's wonderful. I don't have to make it up. It's great.
Can I call you every day and then you can like pump me up like this?
I love it. Maybe that should be like my second like job. I think I should be, what is it? Motivational pumper upper. I think that's a good title for me. Yeah. I like
that. Yeah, that would be great.
When you're writing your next book, you know, just think about it. Give me a call.
For sure.
Well, congrats on your newest book release in the Lilyverse. I love Lilyverse. I think that's great. Have you trademarked all these names? I mean, you've worked a lot. Have you trademarked all of it?
I really need to.
You do. Well, put it out there in the cosmos now. Nobody can say it. It's here now. Everybody's listening. You cannot take it. Say, there you go. Or else you get royalties. So you've created this really great universe of a rock romance fiction storyline. It's really cool. I mean, there's not a lot out there that's like it.
No, I call it my rock and roll fairy tale, honestly.
Oh, I like that.
Because so many rock romances are centered around male bands, you know, and they're great. I mean, I love them. But I was like, where are all the women who play rock? Like, you know, where are we? So I just thought it'd be really fun to center this all female rock band. And then, you know, the people supporting them are men, women, and non-binaries, and just giving them the spotlight for a change. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you grew up in the music industry and you yourself began recording music at a very young age. And I'm sure that gave you a very unique perspective into this genre.
Yeah, I definitely started really young. I think I was thinking about this not long ago. My first like professional recording where I got like a check was, I think I was 4.5, 5 years old.
Wow.
Like
now, what was that?
That was something that my dad did. And I have to look it up, but it was like somebody needed a child's voice in the background, you know? And so they were like, yeah, well, and it was, you know, they wanted to make it official. So like I was signed to like a 1-day contract or something and all that. So, yeah. So I always point to that as my beginning, but you know, honestly, music is such a big part of my family that if you weren't recording or performing, you know, in public, we were performing for each other at home. I mean, we put on shows, you know, at home, just like a lot of, you know, stage kids did. But yeah, it's just part of our family, something that I've been doing forever. So
You also play keyboards as well, and you do record vocals. So you're multi-talented in the music industry.
Yeah. I did. You know, I went through that phase where I wasn't quite sure what my genre was because my family is all about R&B and soul and gospel. Mm-hmm. And although I appreciate those genres, they didn't grab me by the throat the way that rock did when I discovered it. And so for a while, I kind of went around. I did the show music, I did choir, I did the jazz ensemble. I was in a madrigal group. I did like everything you could think of. I even took a semester of opera because I thought maybe I wanted to go that route. Mm-hmm. But I always came back to rock. And so, you know, I had my little like acoustic coffee shop duet thing going for a while. And I sang backing vocals for other bands. And then finally, you know, I found people who were like, you know what, let's see what you've got to say, you know, with your lyrics and your voice. And I was really lucky to work with some really amazing musicians. So although I play keys and I can dabble in other instruments, I was like, I want people who are proficient at these things to like give these songs the best, you know, chance to shine. So yeah, I stick to the microphone.
Beautiful. Yes. What was it about rock, though? Because I know that you're, like you said, you had madrigals even in there and opera. What was it really about rock, though, that spoke to you? What was the thing that you made? Can you pinpoint one thing that just said, yeah, that's the style I like?
I mean, I think it's just such a visceral genre. Mm-hmm. It's just really the storytelling, and there's storytelling in all forms of music, honestly. But there's something about rock and the way it incorporates other genres as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like it throws country and blues and soul and everything else into a blender and kind of comes out with its own thing every time. Like there's so many subgenres of rock and roll, right?
Right.
They're all so, so different and they borrow from each other beautifully. Yeah, I don't know. There was just something about maybe it was like the angsty teenager in me or something.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I'm there. Grunge. You know? I grew up with grunge and I said, that's kind of, I was set out to fail with grunge, you know, because I'm thinking, boy, that's a very optimistic kind of attitude to have when you're, you know, in your formative years. But yeah, maybe it is. There's something about that just, I agree with you, that edgy kind of quality.
Yeah, there's something about, it's like very fringe, you know, like you're I don't know, it spoke to me. So, mm-hmm. and I stuck there. And I listen to everything, you know, and I perform a lot of different genres. But that's the one I always come home to. So that's what I call myself, a rock girl.
Yes. And what do you think? I mean, this is totally off topic. And you, because you opened this door now with rock. What do you think of the future of rock right now? Because I've had other people, I had Larry Mazur months ago, who is a major a music manager for major bands in the 80s. We had like Winger and Kiss. He was their manager. He feels that rock is dead. He doesn't feel in his lifetime there will be the real rock genre anymore. And yet I still see it kind of out there. It's just kind of changed. So what is your opinion of rock and where it's going?
I always find that opinion fascinating when I hear people say that, because it almost tells me kind of what era of rock they're thinking of.
That's true.
When they say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I was saying before, rock borrows from so many different genres. And I think it's very formative too. Like whatever we have those like core memories that are tied to music when you're growing up, you know, and you're in like teenager, you know, high school and college or whatever. And there was that soundtrack of that period of your life. And so I think a lot of people, no matter what the genre, if it's, you know, hip hop or whatever, whatever songs tie them to that period, that's what they define as like that genre.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, rock is an ever-evolving thing. And so, like, I look at bands like Måneskin, who came out of Italy, out of the Eurovision Song Contest a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And they're kind of reviving that, you know, I don't know, that I guess sort of 70s, slightly glam rock, but has like a modern twist, you know, or bands like Arctic Monkeys, who are constantly reinventing themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that rock is no longer in its teenage years. I think it's kind of like, you know, gotten its first job and is buying its first house.
All the real fun part of life. Yeah. The real exciting part. Yeah. Mowing the lawn for the first time and taking the dog out. Yeah.
And it still has some angst, but it's different kind of angst.
Different.
You know?
It's more about paying the bills now and keeping the lights on and putting food on the table. Yes. All the fun things. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I agree with
you. And there's more women, too.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. And I like music, it's organic. And if it stays in one box its entire life, it gets kind of stale and stagnant. And I agree.
Yeah.
I think things have to evolve. And it's not losing anything. It's really gaining something, in my opinion. I mean, that's
really
my own personal
is.
Thing. Yeah. And I'm glad that your
totally
book
agree.
Centers around bringing females in rock to the forefront. And your newest release in the series, it features Lily's drummer, Kayla Whitman, as she and the rest of the group try to navigate the pressures of their first official tour together. So you're kind of, from what I'm gathering, reading everything that I've read, you're going to explore all of their lives. It's not based around one. It's more about the group, the Lilies.
Yeah. When I first came up with the idea for the series, honestly, Lily was the first one. The singer was the first character who came to me. And I didn't think it would be a 4-book series. It was just kind of this, it'd be interesting to explore the ideas of her life because I'm a singer. She's a singer. I thought, you know, that'd be kind of fun. And then when I was approached by a publisher, by Sourcebook, saying, you know, hey, we'd love to work with you. Do you have anything that we could look at? And I was like, well, I don't have like a manuscript under my bed or anything, but I have this idea for this band. And so the idea for the first book, The Girl with Stars in Her Eyes, was to give the reader who didn't grow up in the music industry or maybe wasn't a musician, sort of an open door to come into the world and see, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. And so Toni is a character, you know, she's coming into it. She is a musician, but she's coming into this world of band life and label life and touring life completely fresh. So you sort of get introduced to the world there. And then in the second book, we're in it, you know, you're on the road with them, you're on the tour bus and all of that. So I wanted to, I don't know, give each member of the band their backstory, but also the overarching story of the band's rise to the top, because I am going to take them to the very top, is like that secondary story that rides alongside the love story that's in each book. So, yeah, that was the general idea behind the series.
Yes. It's hard to, I thank you for being able to put it into like words, because it's such a great concept. It's a large concept because it is it's going to be a 4 series of books. And, you know, it's hard to say, well, how do you whittle that down to just kind of giving the, you know, the plot line, and that you did a very good job at that. So bravo.
And so, you know, I've done the log line so many times.
Yeah, it's so in your sleep times. Now. Yes.
Yeah. But it's
brilliant because the Lilyverse extends beyond the books. So you do merchandising, you do music, you do art that can all immerse yourself into this world of the Lilyverse. And that's brilliant. You're multimedia kind of bringing everything in together to make this really a very cool concept.
Well, that's the fangirl in me. I'm a big fandom person. I'm going to tell you how big of a like fan nerd I am. Several years ago, there was a TV show in Norway called Skam.
Okay.
Which was, it was a really interesting concept, and this is totally not off topic, but it gives you an idea of where this series came from. Mm-hmm. They would drop clips from the show throughout the week at any given time. Mm-hmm. And the viewers, we all had an app on our phone that another viewer created so that when a clip dropped, your phone would ping, and it could be 2 a.m, 4 p.m, yeah. didn't matter.
Yeah.
You would run to your computer and watch the clip. And then at the end of the week, they would compile all of the clips with a final clip, and that would be the episode. Mm-hmm. But between all of that, they did all of these. They had Instagram accounts for the characters. They had text messages they would release. I mean, it was very immersive, and you really were invested in the lives of these characters. And I was like, man, that is brilliant. Like, that just drops you right in it. So I was like, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Yes.
So, but, you know, when you fall in love with a band or you fall in love with a show or whatever, like, you just look at the One Direction fandom, look at the you know, the K-pop fandom, these guys, like, they live for every little thing that they can get from the people that they admire. And so I wanted to give the reader sort of an inside track on the band. And I thought, what better way to do that than make the band as real as possible? Let them see merch and buy merch, or let them follow their social media, let them listen to their music, and just make it as real as possible.
Now, do you ever worry, or has it happened already, where someone who reads the books and it becomes so real to them that they think they're real people? Like, this is fiction, but they're thinking nonfiction, that there is a real Kayla. There is, you know, there is a Lily out there. Do you ever get that where people are like, oh, I want to meet them? Or
Occasionally. Yeah. I was in the airport yesterday coming back from Paris, and this lovely Scottish gentleman saw me in line. I had a Lily's T-shirt on. He goes, excuse me, is that a band? And I was like, sorry about my bad Scottish accent. But he was like, is that a band? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, cool, I'm going to look them up. And I started to go like, oh, there's only a couple of songs and it's not a real band. But I didn't say anything. I was just like, yep, it's a band. Go look it up. You know, so, but no, occasionally I did gaslight someone a little bit. I felt really bad. So like in order to like make it as real as possible, I created a Facebook page for the Electric Unicorn, which is the club that they hang out at in Philly.
That's great.
And, you know, Facebook makes you, they don't make you, but they ask you to put like a physical address for something like that for a club. Mm-hmm. And so I picked this area of Philly where the book is generally set. Like there's a bunch of clubs and bars and venues over there, but there's like an empty space under an overpass.
Wow. Attention to detail, my friend. That's great.
I dropped the pin there, and then I got a DM saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was a real club. I'm going to go have a drink. And I was like, please don't go to the stabby place in the middle of the night. Like, don't. Like, please. Oh, I'm worried for your safety.
That's brilliant. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. I love it. You know what? I'm in Philly right now talking to you. So after I wrap here, I'm going down there and I'm going to see what it's like.
I know. Well, there's some wonderful places in the area. Just, yeah, don't go to that.
Just don't go to that particular. Yes. There will be more than a pin dropping if you go there. Yes. Oh no, that's really very cool. And you know, you've also written several other successful series though. I have to give props to Frankie and Johnny, which was applauded. I mean, you were listed as one of the 11 Black authors writing amazing LGBTQ+ characters by Frolic. Now, where do you find inspiration? Now, I understand the inspiration of the Lilies with the whole being a musician yourself, but this is a completely different kind of departure for you. How do you find that information to develop such richly deep characters and that perhaps isn't based on your own life experiences?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because on the surface, it may seem like I have nothing in common with Frankie and Johnny, particularly those characters. But Frankie is probably the character closest to me, to my personal life. Because I don't know, there's a term that I learned several years ago that sort of describes this thing that I have called melophilia. Like, he's a melophile, I'm a melophile, meaning I always have music in my head. I cannot turn it off. Mm. And so I play music. I sleep to music, and I have music on if I'm not watching TV or talking to someone in the background to focus that part of my brain so that it doesn't drive me wild. Mm-hmm. And so Frankie takes a job as an overnight DJ at one of the last independent radio stations so that he can deal with that condition and just listen to the music he wants to listen to and makes a living out of doing it. And so I had so much fun writing that character.
Yes.
But yeah, it seems like it's like a departure, but it really isn't.
See, that's
it
cool.
Really isn't.
I'm glad I asked that, because it seems like you said on the surface that you would be pulling from things and that you have incorporated part of yourself into a character that isn't seemingly a character that you would think. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do appreciate, I really loved Frolic when, you know, listing me with, because some amazing authors on that list. All of my books are very diverse. I write a lot of queer characters, mm-hmm. and I never thought about it. I wasn't like, oh, today I'm going to write a queer character. It just, that's part of the world that I live in, mm-hmm. and that we all live in. And I think that it goes unnoticed a lot of the time in my books that aren't centered on a queer relationship. Mm-hmm. Like in Girls with Bad Reputations, my main male character is pansexual. And a lot of people have picked up on it. Some people haven't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to me, like some of the feedback that I get, but it's largely positive. And I think sometimes I'll hear someone say, you know, I never read a queer romance before. I read When Frankie Meets Johnny, or mm-hmm. I never really thought of, you know, pansexuality or bisexuality in men until I read, you know, Girls with Bad Reputations or Love on the Byline. So I love introducing people to aspects of our universe that they may not have been exposed to yet. So,
yes,
I don't know. This is part of my writing.
Well, you are very, very talented. I see. I can't wait for the next two to drop. But I do want to shout out. It was the initial is the girl with the stars in her eyes. And then the follow up, which just dropped, Girls with Bad Reputations. I can live in that world. And do you have any inkling for the, I know you kind of write on the fly and you kind of have it in your head, but it kind of just goes and organically grows with you. So do you have an idea of your next title?
I don't, because that's a, especially with this series, that's a group effort. Like we all sit down and come up with a list and then it goes up the chain. And yeah, they're very like Sourcebooks is really good with titles and covers. The yes. covers for those two books are beautiful.
Oh, they are. They are. You give the frameable wall art. I'm sure anyone should just
I have them framed on my wall.
Oh, yes, I would. That would be my wallpaper everywhere. It would be like, you know, just tiled everywhere. It's beautiful. It is.
But I know that the next book is Tiff's.
Oh, good.
I'm working on that one now. The bass player. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yes. Then, bass player is an interesting life. They are a whole different character altogether. That whole person who plays that instrument. I've met a few bassists and they're very unique.
They are. And I've worked with a lot of bassists. And I've done, you know, I had to do a lot of research for this series, despite being immersed, you know, dipped in music as a child.
Yeah.
As a singer, I think Lily's book might be the easiest to write, but who knows what she's going to throw at me. But I had to learn a bit about, you know, how guitarists speak to each other and what they look for when they're working on a piece. And drummers, man, they have a whole language unto themselves.
Oh,
so
they march
I'm
to a whole
fun.
Different beat, but that's a really bad joke.
You said
oh, that's
you
a dad
it.
Joke right there. Oh, and I think right then and there, Matt's giving me a look. I think it's time I probably wrap this up, because I think they're going to pull the plug on that. But you are a pleasure. Zio Axelrod, zioaxelrod.com. You can get the book anywhere pretty much where you can buy books. And any place you want to specifically steer people to? Or is there any source like Amazon? Who would you recommend getting the book from?
I mean, I love the big stores, but I always steer people towards bookshop.org because they support all the indies. But I have to say, if people are into listening to audiobooks, the audio for this is phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal. And they just got an Earphones Award from Audiophile Magazine.
Oh, congratulations. For it. That's great.
So.
Oh, well, definitely. Zio Axelrod, I will include links. And Zio, I must say, is XIO for all those out there in Radioland who aren't reading it in front of them. Zio Axelrod, you're wonderful. USA Today bestselling author, and I can't wait to see what happens in the Lilyverse next.
You will know. I will send you an arc before it goes out to the
I would
public.
Love it. Next time, yes, please. I'd love to have you come on and explore more in this universe with
me. Anytime. Thank
you're wonderful.
So much for having me.
Oh, thank you. And my Philly sister over there, too, because we're right here in town.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a Philly girl right here with me. So thank you so much for spending a little time on the scene with Doreen today.
Sure. Anytime.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye. We'll be right back with Daybreaker founder Radha Agrawal. Stay tuned.
Looking to get your brand to millions of people without wasting money on platforms that don't deliver your message to the right customers? Well, worry no more. Hi, I'm Doreen Taylor, and I'm so proud to announce that The Scene with Doreen is now syndicated across the good old USA. My show is one of the fastest rising new radio shows in the country and a great way to reach a large audience and deliver your message to potential customers nationwide. People hate commercials, but now they don't have to because we create ads that are as great as your business. Become part of this incredible journey with us and let us make your business the celebrity on The Scene with Doreen. Join The Scene with Doreen family. Visit us at thescenewithdoreen.com or call us at 856-625-2375. That's 856-625-2375.
Daybreaker was never meant to be this huge thing that it became, genuinely. Daybreaker really started out as a social experiment. It was just an idea. Would people be willing to connect in the morning when their energy was the most full, without alcohol, without drugs? And it took off. Yeah.
And with that, Radha launched Daybreaker, a global wellness movement that uses yoga, dance, and the pursuit of joy to inspire a more meaningful lifestyle.
So when you come to a Daybreaker event, you think you're going to just come to a dance party, but what you're actually getting is 10 years of therapy in 3 hours. I mean, like, literally, it's like joy therapy.
Welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. MTV named my next guest as one of 8 women who will change the world. And she's been featured in Forbes, GQ, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and countless others. Radha Agrawal is the co-founder, CEO, and chief community architect of Daybreaker, the global morning dance, music, and wellness movement in 5 continents with a community of almost 500,000 people around the globe. Daybreaker is renowned for its early morning dance parties that promote wellness, community, and positivity, and is currently heading across the country, embarking on its 11th season of the Peace Tour to help promote peace, compassion, understanding, and harmony. I'm thrilled to have the co-founder of Daybreaker, Radha Agrawal, with me on the show today. Good morning, Radha. What's going on?
Good morning, Doreen. Nice to connect.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Congratulations. This is your 11th season heading across the country.
It's so wild. I can't believe it sometimes.
You started this whole movement 2013, $2,500 and a dream, throwing just a big dance party with your friends. And then subsequently, this thing, Daybreaker, just kind of emerged. How did that all go from just a dance party to this huge worldwide sensation?
You know, I think when you create things that people want, and I think that often we drink to socialize, thinking that the person who's drinking with us also wants to be drinking, but neither of us actually want to be drinking, you know? And so we're sort of set up in these sort of social pressure moments in our lives. And I think sometimes people just want to dance. And I think for me, it was kind of solving a problem for myself. My father always said to me, he's from India, he said, Radha, create, don't complain. And so instead of complaining about kind of not being able to find dance floors that were substance free, where I could really let my freak flag fly, and do it in a time of day where I could be in bed by 10 p.m. I decided to do it, you know, with my community, and turned out lots of people wanted to do it too. A lot of people wanted to wake up and dance and be substance free as well.
I love that. And it's positive, and it is all about community first. And I love that it's all inclusive. Take you as you are, the attitude of just love and positivity. And isn't that what the world needs right now? A lot more of. I mean, it's I'm so happy this is happening right now, especially.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, 1 in 4 Americans have 0 friends to confide in. And this number has tripled in the last 30 years. We're in a loneliness pandemic right now. And so, you know, one of the things that's so deeply important and integral to Daybreaker and this community that we're creating is to give people a place to belong, give people a place to exhale, to celebrate life, to come home to their self-expression, to meet each other on the dance floor without having to, having to do anything but just move your body and be in joy. And so It's been really beautiful to travel around the world, all seven continents, and to see that the human spirit is all the same, is that we all just want the invitation to connect, to be in community, to dance, to celebrate life. And it's been beautiful to witness that over the last 11 years.
Well, there is actual science behind the way you plan your events, though. I've read a lot, and four chemicals in your brain that trigger joy. You call it the dose by Daybreaker. You have dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, and oxytocin. How do you say the last one? Oxytocin.
Dorian, you've done your homework.
I try.
Dorian, you've done your homework. But yeah, I call it dose. When I was doing my research on the science of joy, on the science of happiness, I realized that the four happy neurochemicals in your brain spells out the word dose, which I almost fell off my chair. I was like, wow, I can't believe that we've never put that together, this idea that we can actually dose ourselves on our own natural supply, our dopamine, our oxytocin, our serotonin, and our endorphins. And these four happy neurochemicals, if you can actually bring those in to an experience, if you can reverse engineer an event so that each of your community members who are there can release each of these four neurochemicals through experience design, you'll have a community for life. And so the dopamine we get from listening to music and sort of getting up in the morning to dance with the sun, which is Daybreaker, the oxytocin you get from a hug, from, you know, high five at the door, from dancing with someone at an event, which our MC will inspire you to dare you to do, the serotonin you get from being out in the sun, but also from eating healthy food, from being a part of a bigger community, and then the endorphins you get from moving your body. It's like that runner's high. Mm-hmm. So you kind of put that into every event, and all of a sudden you've got a formula for a community experience that really makes you feel deep, deep joy.
Yes, a community of over 500,000 people. I think that needs to be said a few times more, because that's insane. To get 500,000 people to do anything and to agree on anything, and you have been able to accomplish that through this.
We're actually now 800,000 community members around the world. Yeah, I have to update my press kit. We're 800,000 community members and growing. We just launched Pittsburgh. We're back in Philadelphia. We just launched Charlotte, North Carolina as well, and had over 1,000 people in each of these places, 1,000, several hundred in Pittsburgh, and then Philly also with hundreds of people joining the event. So really cool to see our community continue to grow 11 years later.
Yes. And you've had huge support by some pretty big names like Dionne Warwick, Boys to Men, but really exciting, Oprah, where you toured with Oprah and spent your first 3 months of 2020 touring with her. 9 arenas, sold out tour. You opened it. And I mean, you led 155,000 people through this motivational movement experience. What is that like to be, first of all, with Oprah, who's infectious to begin with, and just bring this joy to all these people all across the country like that?
Yeah,
that
she is the queen for a reason. I mean, it's almost like she floats into spaces she walks into, but she was such a joy. There's a reason why her community her team members have been with her for 25 years or more. You know, that shows the kind of leadership. And yeah, just to be able to open every stop with her and to warm up the stadium for her when she came out, and to really get 155,000 people on their feet to connect with one another. I thought that was really, really beautiful for them to want Daybreaker and our community to be the ones to open up every stop of her tour, because she understands so deeply the importance of bringing people together, the importance of community, and not just having an opening band play, but some community like us that's going to be there to fuse everybody together every stop of the tour. So it was really a fun design challenge for us to think about how in 25 minutes we can bring 15,000 people together to feel connected, to feel belonging before she came out.
Wow. I also want to applaud you. You're fully self-funded. You are a woman of color making business. And I know that 70% of the companies that you have invested, because you're also a huge investor in other projects, but you really want to invest in companies that have at least one female co-founder. And I applaud you for doing that. Thank you so much on behalf of me as a woman. But, you know, to do that, that is such strength. And thank you.
Thank you for saying that. You know, I think, for me as an entrepreneur, when I was just starting out, you know, it was extremely hard for me to get any funding for any of my ideas. And so to be able to give that and pay that forward to other women who have big dreams like I did, and not just have every door shut, you know, shut on them, has been a blessing for me to be able to, and an honor, frankly, for me to offer the next generation of entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs particularly.
Wow. And we got to give a shout out to Thinks Underwear with your twin sister. We have to say, like, that is awesome. And I that's really cool. I mean, do you want to give a shout out and explain to everyone what Thinks Underwear, what the line is about?
Yeah. So, you know, when my sister and I were, you know, we're becoming entrepreneurs and just women about town living in New York, we'd go to meetings and, you know, we would just be, you know, we'd have our periods, we'd menstruate and we have to jump out of meetings. We're irregular as well. And so just, we were thinking about how, you know, one in two humans bleed and yet the only solutions are pads and tampons. And for women to really feel that sense of equality. And by the way, you know, 100 million women, girls drop out of school in India and Africa every single year because of their periods. And they call it their week of shame. And as they have not having the ability, they don't have the sanitation, you know, they don't have the pads or the tampons to support them during their week of, you know, their menstruation cycle. And so they end up staying home for the week, falling so far behind in their school that they end up becoming unproductive members of society. So we began seeing that. And also for us as busy women living in New York, having accidents all the time, you're like, wow, this is a huge problem for women everywhere. So let's, instead of complaining, create. And so kind of invented a pair of underwear that had the ability that looked beautiful, that felt sexy, that felt comfortable, that felt, you know, you're in your power, but that also supported the planet. You know, 100 million tampons that are in a landfill every year as well. So we wanted to also create something that was sustainable for the planet. So we invented this sort of underwear that had kind of this quad technology that allowed for you to bleed into your underwear and then wash it in under a sink and then throw in your washer and dryer. And so, we've supported millions of girls now all around the world, both in developed and developing countries, to manage their menstruation and feeling really empowered for it, and also save the planet in the process. So it's been really, really beautiful.
Yes. I love that you say empower, especially because sometimes girls and like you said, in other countries, but especially here as well, too, we sometimes are embarrassed, or it's not the, you know, feeling like, oh, there's something different about us. And you're making inclusion where, you know, we don't have to have those separate items. We don't have to be like, oh, we're different right now. There's something going on. You're just making it easier and less. It's more welcoming.
Thanks for saying that. Yeah. You know, I think that that's, yeah, there's no handouts here, right? Women, we're empowered. Women are graduating now. More around the country than men are. There are more women graduating college than there are men. There are more women starting businesses in this country than there are men. So, you know, the pendulum is swinging in service of empowered women and for us to really be on. And I stand on the shoulders of women before me who pounded the pavement to be able to give even me the opportunity to become a female entrepreneur as a woman of color. And as an immigrant coming, you know, I'm Canadian, but my father's in India, my mother's in Japan, coming to this country and really living the American dream. I really feel proud to be American, but also proud to be a woman, very much so.
Oh, and we're proud. We're proud to have you as a woman. Thank you so much. And thank you for all that you do. And your book, I do want to say Belong. Your book Belong, it peels back the curtain and shares how your team and you built the Daybreaker community. Because I do want to circle back to Daybreaker before we wrap it up. And just how you talk about, how did you find your people? How did you create this large and meaningful community in the real world? And I did want to give a shout out to your book.
Thanks. You know, I wrote this book because I think, especially in America, we end up prioritizing romantic relationship and our careers over friendship, right? And so, whereas back in the day when we lived in the villages, our community came first. But because we live in this sort of ruggedly individualistic, often toxically individualistic society that is America, we often sort of look out for ourselves and our best interests. So I want to find a romantic partner. I want to get the career. But we end up deprioritizing friendship and community. And we end up in this loneliness pandemic that we're in right now. And so the book, the point of the book is to give you 20 exercises in the book on how to make friends, how to create your community. There's so many books out there that tell you why community is important, why belonging is important, but no one gives you the step-by-step tools to teach you how. How do I make friends? What questions do I ask when I go out to social settings? You know, what's the best way to ask a friend for a phone number without seeming creepy? Like, how do I, you know, what's the best way to show up for my new friends so I'm adding value to my community? Like, what are the ways in which I can create, you know, dinner parties for myself so I'm not waiting for the invitation, but I'm proactively creating experiences for new friends that I want to meet? And so giving, you know, humans the, you know, step-by-step ways for how to make friends, how to create the dream community and not wait for the invitation, but be the community, the kind of the community organizer that you want to be. That's kind of the purpose and prayer for the book.
Mm, wonderful. And I do want to say that you just wrapped up a very successful stop on your Purple Tour in Philadelphia. And now you're off to Seattle on April 27th, LA on the 28th, Chicago on May 11th, New York on May 18th. And that is part of your Peace Tour, which is the 11th anniversary. How can people get in on the fun and stop this loneliness epidemic? How can we kind of just embrace each other? I know, go to daybreaker.com, but what can they expect when they come out to a Daybreaker event? What can people expect to have happen?
Well, okay, so it's a 3-hour event. The first hour is yoga. The second 2 hours is a full-on dance party in the morning. So imagine you wake up and you put on an all white and glitter outfit. That's sort of what the Peace Tour is all about. It's about peace and harmony in the world. So you put on a white outfit, put some glitter on, or we'll have a glitter station at the Daybreaker event. You come in, you do 1 hour of yoga that's in this beautiful, iconic venue from Santa Monica Pier to Red Rocks to Kennedy Center in D.C. We're doing Top of the Rock. We did Top of the Rock for Valentine's Day. We're doing a skating rink in Rockefeller Plaza as well coming up. So we, you know, imagine doing yoga in these iconic venues with beautiful instrumental harps, you know, vocal cords, sound bowls, and then followed by a 2-hour dance party that has like a horn section and break dancers and fire spinners and aerialists all before 9 a.m. or all before noon in some cities. And then so it's a 2-hour dance party with all these performative elements, with a gorgeous closing connection practice to practice how to make friends. Again, so that you leave the event not only having moved your body, danced your face off, but made a new friend in the process. So that's the concept.
It's beautiful, beautiful. And I know that there are a lot of people out there that are craving companionship and craving that friendship. I agree with you that there are a lot of times we focus on the other things in life and we sort of put that in a backseat. And this is a really wonderful idea. And I applaud you for coming up with it and founding this, co-founding this amazing daybreaker.com. Go check it out. You can, like I said, there are a bunch of stops. You're in all of my syndicated cities that I'm playing in. So everyone that's listening to this can go out to their own city right in their backyard and check this out, because I think we need it. I really do.
Well, Doreen, which city will you come and join us on the dance floor?
Well, I'm close. I'm between Philly and I'm New York City. So I think New York might be the experience for me to try.
Great. Well, then I'll meet you there. I live in New York as well. And so we can definitely have a dance together.
I love it.
And I'll send you tickets.
I would love that. And I can't wait to wear my white sparkles, because that's a speaks to me right then and there too. That's yes. Perfect. Yes. Power.
Yes. Yes. I look forward to it.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me today. I wish you all the success in the world. You already had all the success in the world, but the sky's the limit for you. And I would love you to check in with me the next time you have something, because you are coming up with ideas all the time. So next time you have something you want to promote here, please stop by. You're lovely.
Thank you, Doreen. Well, I will say, I want to give one more shout out to our new nonprofit that we just launched this year, and it's called Belong Center to End Loneliness, an audacious mission statement to end loneliness and empower belonging for all. And this nonprofit, we're going to be opening Belong Centers all over the country. So anyone who is feeling lonely or wants to support in their community and making their community more connected, you know, please visit belongcenter.org. And we're opening up 2 centers in every state using borrowed office spaces through citizens who are raising their hand and inviting us into their offices for these 1-hour Belong Circles that we're launching all over the country this year. So I look forward to meeting your community there as well.
You're wonderful. Radha, you are a beauty. And keep shining that light because you are helping so many people. So Radha Agrawal, thank you for being on The Scene with Doreen today.
Thank you, Doreen.
And take care.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you to my guests today, Teresa Caputo, Zio Axelrod, and Radha Agrawal. And thank you again for tuning into The Scene with Doreen. I'm here each week across the country bringing you the best interviews from the entertainment world and beyond. Get connected with me on social media and on our official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And tune in next week so you can find out what's going on.